All right, chapter 5, dominants and tritones. When, let's just define what a tritone is. It's three whole steps apart, and it's very dissonant. When you're in the key of C, Zach, if you would please be our guitar demonstrator. The 1 and 5, the 1 chord is what?
C.
And the 5 chord is what?
G7.
G7, correct. So would you play us a C, then a G7, then a C?
C, and then G7.
And then back to C. Yeah. So why is the G7, why does it have so much tension? Well, earlier we talked about that the third of the G is B. And would you play just C to B to C, the note C to B to C, like on 3rd string, 5th fret, then 4th fret, then 5th fret?
So, C.
So like C, B, C. Well, you play B flat. I was thinking you would play 5th string, 3rd string, 5th fret, and then 4th fret, and then 5th fret.
3rd string, 5th fret.
No, that's 4th string.
3rd string. Oh, I see what you're saying.
So just go C, B, C. Yeah, so part of the reason why the G7 wants to resolve back to C is because the third of the G7 is a B note, which is a half step below the C, and it's just dying to get back to C. So if you would, play me C, G7, C again, the whole chords. Yep, so part of the reason why the 5 chord is very tense and very, very much wants to go back to the 1 chord is because of what we call the leading tone, the seventh note in the key of C, which is B, and it's just dying to get back to C. The other reason why it's wanting to resolve so much is because there's a tritone. When you play a G7 on string, like you're doing a bar chord fret 3, which is great, strings 4 and 3 is an F note to a B note. Can you play only those two notes, please? F to B, or F and B at the same time, I should say.
You said the 3rd string?
Like when you do a G7, the notes on strings 4 and 3.
Okay.
Yes. Hear how much tension those two notes have?
Yes.
And they're just dying to resolve. And so if you could take the B up a half step to C and the F down a half step to E, you'll have to work that out. Yeah, cool. Please play that again so I can record it.
Yes.
Yeah, perfect. Perfect. So you can hear the resolution that we're talking about. And that is in every dominant chord. Every seventh chord, there's a tritone. They may not be in that same order. They might not even be next to each other, like in the chord. Like you would have a different voicing. Like if you did an open G7 instead of the one you did. Well, no, your B and your F would still be next to each other. But it's possible you could have a voicing that where it's not next to each other. But it's in there. That the interval of three whole steps, i.e. B to F in this example, is going to be in every seventh chord. And that's why it's so much tension bringing you back to a one chord. And then it says, letter B of chapter 5, it says diatonic chords that have a tritone interval, where there's our 5 chord right there. 5 has a tritone interval, example G7 has B to F as its 3rd and 7, and can resolve to 1 or 6. Like G7 could resolve to A minor because the same two notes are in it, you're just sticking an A in the bass. It would be like, instead of you're going, you went, which is still, it's still in there. The E and the C are still in there. And then it says, but resolving to a 1 minor is not as compelling because one of the voices moves a half step, but the other one moves a whole step. What this means is, if you're resolving to a 1 minor, like G7 to C minor, then the B still moves up a half step to C, but the F is forced to move down a whole step to E flat. So the sound of that would be G7 to C minor. Sounds fine on its own, but when I single out just the movement, it'd be... It's not as satisfying as the half steps, if you see what I mean. Okay? Yeah. And so we're going to come back to that later. There's something you can do about that, but that's in a later chapter. But he's introducing the idea of it right now. And then the other chord in the diatonic series that has a tritone is the 7. Like in the key of C, the 7th scale degree is B half diminished, which would be X. If you don't remember how to play it, it's X, 2, 3, 2, 3, X. Like that. Yeah, you got it. And then where's the tritone there? It's the same business. Like F to B is, or I should say B to F is strings 5 and 4. The lower two strings play only those two, and you'll hear the tritone. Correct. And then if you resolve that to like E and C, which would be X, 3, 2, X, 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 X. In other words, like that, like B to F to C to E. Yeah, and it sounds good because it's contrary motion. One is moving up, one moving down, right?
Yeah, it sounds good.
Right, so that's harmony 101. And you could resolve that not only B half diminished to C major, but you could also resolve it B half diminished to A minor. You know, because that also has a C and an E in it. So you're understanding point B so far, right?
Hmm. What chord did you play on that second one? It switched.
Well, I played B half diminished to C major 7, and then the other one I played B half diminished to A minor.
I see.
Yeah.
Cool.
Then this last point number C, or letter C, under chapter 5, it says 5 to 1 is a perfect cadence, and the 5 chords are called primary dominants. But you can also have secondary dominant, where the 5 chord, which is a 5 chord of some other diatonic chord. So, for example, the 1 chord of the key of C is C, the 6 chord of the key of C is A minor. The 5 chord of A minor is E7. And so that this E7 acts like a secondary dominant, meaning it's the 5 chord of the 6 chord. So you have C is the 1, and then you have the E7 is the 5 chord of the 6 chord, and then A minor 7. It sounds quite nice.
So that's like going from like... Or it's where you go like...
Yeah. Exactly.
So it has to... Okay. I think you'd have to write that out for me to understand it completely.
Okay, I'm gonna do one more example, and then I'll give you another thing to think about on this. But if it's still not enough, I'll explain it the next time we meet. Another one is when you're going from C to F, the 1 to 4 in the key of C, you can do a secondary dominant of C7, which is the 5 chord of F. Like if you were in the key of F, the 5 chord would be C7. So you could play C, and then C7, which is the 5 of 4, if you will, to the 4 chord itself, which is F. So in other words, the C7, we call it a 1 dominant, but it means the same thing as the 5 chord of the 4 chord. Right? Does that make sense?
I'm getting the, like, so it's like, you're, like, the reason these transitions are able to happen is because, like, you're, like, using the fifth of a relative chord, or is it the previous chord, or the...
Yes, you're putting the fifth of whatever chord you're going to, and I'm going to demonstrate the entire C harmonized scale, and then we'll pick it up again later tomorrow. except maybe the B half diminished. So look at the harmonic scale of C. It goes C, D minor, E minor, F, G, A minor, B half diminished. I'm going to put a 5 chord in a different color here. I'm going to put a 5 chord before each one of these, like the 5 of D minor is A7, the 5 of E minor is B7, the 5 of F is C7, the 5 of G.
You're saying like the 5 of like in F major is C7?
Yes, correct. So we're borrowing, it's a non-diatonic chord, but we're borrowing from the key, like the chord we're about to go to. And then here, this is a weird one. So the F half diminished, but I don't know how to do that. So we're just going to put F sharp here, F sharp 7, and then finally G7. Now, just listen to the whole thing. Hear how it sounds. All right, it'll sound like this. First, I'm going to go black to red to black to red. It'll go. Sounded quite nice, right?
Yeah.
And we had a lot of weird chords in there. If I played it in time, it'd be. So a lot of motion. You wouldn't do that all in one song, but certainly one or two of these chords can really spice up a chord progression. And that's what a secondary dominant is. You should explore that. Explore that in different keys.
Yeah, so E7 is the fifth of A minor, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, yeah. Yep. Great, cool.